at Wednesday night. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us. You see, this is the great mystery secret. If you can get God to slam down his gavel and look at you and shout your name up in heaven and say, that Richie, or that Linda, she belongs to me. Paul, once he understood that, he said, what shall we say to these things? God's on my side. What can anyone do to me? That's good news. So when you read in the Bible, justified, you think, well, for me now, because I watch it every night, Perry Mason, the judge, slamming down his gavel, not guilty. So, knowing that, a man is not, I even got a baby one. Someone got me. I got tired of that loud one. Isn't that right, Sharon? This is a peewee gavel. I need to give this to Vinny. Where's Vinny at? All right. Knowing that, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even me and Peter, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Any King James versions in the house today? 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's see, how many people have I infuriated this morning to have a King James? Because your Bible doesn't read that way. Galatians 2:16 from the King James reads like this. Knowing a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Big difference there, isn't it? The King James just told you that your justification or your acquittal by God didn't originate with you. It originated with Christ. And the King James Version is right. Amen. The King James is right. What the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you is that your faith is not your own. It's a gift. God has given to you the gift of faith. You know, you've heard it before. You watch football. Oh, so-and-so is so gifted, right? From football players to concert violinists. Well, guess what? You have been gifted too. Might not be to carry a football, might not be to play the violin, but the Bible says this in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, you didn't save yourself. You can't save yourself. You had help. By the grace of God, he gave you the ability. He gave you, God has given you the gift of faith. And if you don't think that it's a gift, look around. And now tell me if you think it's a gift. Or there's 5 billion people out here that'll spit in his eye and are honking mad that God loves them. Am I right? Otherwise, there'd be 7.3 billion believers. What do you have that they don't have? Sound like the Wizard of Oz. We've got something they haven't got. Faith. Faith. Friend, you don't have it on your own to believe in Jesus Christ. You go back in and you read the Gospel of John chapter 11. Jesus called a dead man out of the grave that had been dead for 4 days. Half the people ran to the local chapter of the Merritt Island ACLU and ratted him out. The other half believed. So you can't say, well, if God was here in the flesh, I'd believe. They didn't. You wouldn't either. Faith is a gift from God. Some people have it, Bill. A lot of people don't. If you doubt me, go outside and look around. If you need proof out of that in the Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. All right, that's book, chapter, and verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 1 and 2, if you don't believe me. All right, so naturally, both Bible translations are correct. But the King James is more literal and an exact rendering of the Greek, that instead of Jesus being the object of your faith, faith in Christ, it's a what we call in English a subjective genitive. That is, the faith belongs to him, and he's given it to you. So yes, you need to believe, obviously. However, your ability to believe comes from him. You see, you need help. The Bible declares you to be dead in transgressions and sins. You need help. Okay, now the second half of this verse here in Galatians. It says, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it? There is not a soul alive today or has ever lived or ever will live that'll ever gain entry into the kingdom of Jehovah because of something they have done or because of their own works. All right, verse 17. It says, but if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? And he says, meganoito, God forbid. No way, certainly not. What are you, crazy? We'd say in Jersey. If in the process of me being saved, it's discovered that Jesus is a friend of sinners, because he is, and that my sin has become evident, does that make Jesus a minister of sin? No way. Verse 18, for if I build again those things which I destroyed, then I make myself a transgressor. Meaning I'm the sinner here, not him. So if I find myself right back where I started from, all it means is it's my fault. I make myself a transgressor. Verse 19, for I, through the law, have died to the law, that I might live to God. So we are no longer, like Paul, under the impossible burden of trying to earn acceptance by good works and trying to keep the law. Also, the law did its job. You see, Paul says to the law here, you win. You win. You've beaten me into submission. You win. Verse 20, another famous verse given us by the great apostle. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. Meaning, I died, figuratively speaking, right along with him. My old life, my old way of life, my old sinful past, the wretch that I used to be. It's right up there on the cross with him. He said, I have been crucified. How many of you have been crucified? Actually, the answer I'm looking for is none. Right, exactly. So he's got to mean something else. He's not saying all of you have died and have come to life. He's saying that figuratively, your old way of living died right up there, right alongside with him. And that, you see, the old church back in the first century believed this here had a lot to do with it. being baptized. That's what they say when you're reading the book of Acts. They said to Paul, be baptized and wash away your sins. Or Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says we were buried with him through baptism unto death. It's not that the early church believed baptism saved you, but they were baptized immediately when they received Christ. So very significant, very important to be baptized. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now, the King James there says the faith of the Son of God. Which one's right? Correct. They're both right. The life that I now live in the flesh, that is this old life I'm living here today, November 28, 2021, it is not I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a great verse this is. It's not me anymore. It's him. It's no longer I who am living. It's him. He lives in me. And this life that I do live, I live it by faith, he's saying. I don't understand it, but I live it by faith. So since it's no longer you who live, then your righteous desires are not your own. They're his. As long as you're still in this flesh body, it's always a battle to separate the two and distinguish between your desires and his. But as you continue to walk in the Spirit and hold fast to the words of John the Baptist, who declared, he must increase and I must decrease. And this is the place to be, where all of your prayers get answered. And naturally, why wouldn't they? They're not your prayers. See, this is the place we need to arrive at. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And if it's Christ who lives in you, the desires that he gives you, they're not your own, they're his. The prayers that he leads you to pray are not your own, they're his. The desires to go help someone out here, down and out, they're not yours, they're his. Their desire to go out here and meet this guy on this chariot and preach Christ to him, they're not your own. They're his. That's the place where we need to be. He must increase. We must decrease. We're not there yet, I don't think, at this place. But this is what we strive for. Where it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So think on these verses here this week. We're going to sign off here on Facebook here in a minute. We're going to have Holy Communion here with our church family and visitors here. But think on these verses this week. It is no longer I who live. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And this life I live it by faith. Even when times get difficult, even when I don't understand it, this life I live it by faith. It is no longer I who live. Grasp that today, friends, when you walk out the door. It is no longer I who live. It is no longer you. Jesus wants to live your life through you if you'd let him. Amen. I mean, this is how you get to that place where you have the Midas touch and all that you do turns to gold when you let him live, really, his life through you. Our last verse today is the last verse in this chapter, verse 21. He says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Think about it. If I could ever con God into slamming down that gavel of his and allowing me into his kingdom by keeping the law, then Christ died in vain. He died in vain. Meaning, I thought of a way that he didn't think of. So you see, Jesus then really didn't need to die because I found a way of getting in without Jesus. And that would make me smarter than God. Man, I need some rubber boots heading out of here today. It's 4 billion people that believe that. I'll be in the majority. Turn Oprah on any day of the week. The majority of people believe that way. Oh, there's lots of ways to get to heaven. Imagine that. Any of you out here think you can compel God to drop down his gavel in your favor based on your plan instead of his provision? Anyone who believes that would be smarter than God. If righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died for nothing. I mean, think about it. If you thought of a way that God couldn't think of, you'd have to have your own throne up in heaven, I would think. Right? Adrian Rogers, the old preacher, used to say, any God like that, I'd hate to run into him in a dark alley. Could you imagine that? Who would let his son die when he didn't need to because you thought of a way that he couldn't think of? Don't try that at home. No, again, we believe the Bible here, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except by me. That's what we believe here. But if you thought of another way that God didn't, Oswald Chambers would call that unconscious blasphemy. Let's pray.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Like the frost on a rose, winter comes for us all. Oh, how nature acquaints us with the nature of patience. Like a seed in the snow, I've been buried to grow. For your promise is loyal from sea to Sequoia.